Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that
midnight. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the lines. The lines are alive. I'm going to take you in order. Do not hang up. I'm going to take you in order, starting with Mark from the SAC. Mark from the SAC, thanks for calling, my friend. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, we're finding out now Robin Voss is reporting that he had COVID, that has he been appearing maskless at any place, or you know, without a mask on in any of these places, or that, or did he when he was diagnosed with COVID? I mean, that how many others of the Republican caucus, both the Assembly and the Senate side, came down with COVID? I mean, and they're all fortunate. I mean, if he indeed did, he's lucky he didn't join Andre Jacques, you know, in a hospital bed with a tube stuck in his chest and have mechanical assistance breathing. And he's making these comments like this as well. What if there would have been no hospital or medical personnel to take care of him when he had COVID? Would he have thought there was a problem
then? Right, yeah, he's blaming the bed shortage on the anti-vax rules, saying if people just wouldn't get vaccinated, there'd be more beds. And the Hospital Association said it's full of baloney. Only 2%, less than 2% of the staff quit because they wouldn't get vaccinated. It's the beds that aren't there. And because people with broken legs and heart attacks have to be driven 100 miles away, get vaccinated. And he's opposing that, and he had COVID himself. Unbelievable. Mark, thanks a lot for calling in. Next up in line, Pizza Box Mike, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, my co-host, Pizza Box Mike?
Well, I'm just a fat man. I can't tell you how many banks I went to yesterday and asked to apply for a forgivable loan. And not one of them had one. Not only that, they've never heard of a forgivable loan. I had to let them know that our assembly leader was given $298,000. And then 4 months later, it was forgiven. You don't have to pay it back. Just put it on the backs of those sucker taxpayers, right? I can't believe that people in this country don't understand what happened during COVID. That the people that were the wealthiest in the world and the people that were the least deserving of anything on this planet made more money, more profit than they ever have any time before. Wake up, America.
Right, yeah, no, Pizza Box, you're making a good point, and it's this. You know, the original intent of that money in Forgivable was you have somebody who has a restaurant, which is a very, very tough thing to make a run of, you know, very low margins, and he has to lay off wait staff and all that, and they go, okay, here's some money. Keep paying your wait staff and do takeout, and we'll get you through this, and then we'll forgive it. And that made a lot of sense. The problem was a lot of companies, some very large ones, some hedge funds, some venture capitalists put in. Some of them got millions of dollars. Some of them, it was crooked and they're being prosecuted. But the truth is that overall, there wasn't time, given the circumstances, to get financial statements and vet everybody, or the whole economy would have fallen apart. But you're absolutely right. Pizza Box, thanks for calling in. Next up is Ian of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Ian?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I wholeheartedly agree with your comments about the quietness of the Democratic Party when it comes to election. And I have two questions, and then I have to go. I'll listen to you on the radio. Question number one is there any realm or dimension where you would consider running for office as lieutenant governor with Tony Evers? I don't quite see you as a backseat person, but I believe your voice would be super critical to the party and the effort.
And I really appreciate that. And I will tell you what, I had not thought of it. There are some people running right now, and you know, I'm supporting Tony. He's got to beat Rebecca Clayfish. If Rebecca Clayfish gets in, we're in worse shape than we were under Scott Walker. So I would do anything I could to help the ticket and so forth. At this point, I think what I'm doing is hosting this radio station, and we're getting some very, very hard facts out for everybody. But no, I think that it's simply something that I haven't thought about. And I'm trying to make my contribution this way. I support Tony and want him back in as governor for 4 more years. And the truth of the matter is that all I can say is Rebecca Clayfish, she was the Duchess of Foxconn. She was the one who stood on the sidelines with pom-poms going, yay, yay, Foxconn, $4.5 billion. Conceivably, it did end up costing us $1 billion in site preparation. And this was wrong. This is just terribly, terribly wrong. Listen, Ian, thank you so much for calling, and I really appreciate it. Next up is Dick of Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, I couldn't agree more with you when you're talking about the Republican Party morphing towards fascism. But they're also just plain stupid and also rather gullible. And I don't know the other word you'd use for them. When you find out now, the former president, who's got a slush fund of, what, $100 million, he's supposedly a billionaire. If you need legal help for something you did when you weren't even president in the state of New York, guess who pays for it? The grand old party is paying his legal bills in New York. Right. I've never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life. Did the DNC step up when the Clintons were having problems with bogus, totally bogus legal problems? How dumb are they, Matt? I mean,
right. You know, Dick, you're making a good point. I mean, here's the deal. They're treating him like the nominee in waiting. They're treating him with kid gloves, and they're paying his legal fees. Their candidates, Senate, governor, all going down to Mar-a-Lago and holding these events and putting money in his pocket. He charges top dollar, which is fine. I don't care what he charges, but they're down there trying to get his endorsement or at least get him to not trash them in the primary. That's what's going on. The thing that bugs me is the emails, the solicitations that go out to everybody in the Republican Party and everybody in the country asking for money to stop the steal. And there are different iterations of that, but basically it's give us the money so we can hire lawyers and we can hire people to question the vote. They've raised hundreds of millions of dollars. He's going to have close to $1 billion just going in as a potential nominee. And they're not using it for that. Where they do try to attack the vote, they use tax dollars. Here in Wisconsin, Gableman was hired by Voss with tax dollars, $676,000. Started out saying it was $44,000. Now $676,000, and Voss isn't reading the invoices, and he won't produce any of this stuff in open records requests. And Gableman's sneaking around trying to get Freedom of Information Act type information from the Wisconsin Election Commission under a false name. Didn't disclose it was Gableman or his agent. His agent went sneaking in anonymously. And then they had that email demand to the mayors in Green Bay, Madison, and Milwaukee that came out of the Delta account, it was called. Give me a break. Give me a break. It's all very sneaky. And none of that money that they raised is going to stop the steal. Tax money is going to stop the steal. Tax money is going to stop the steal. So people have got to wake up to this. I mean, they flat out have to wake up to this. You cannot continue to treat taxpayers this way. You cannot continue to treat taxpayers this way. And you cannot continue to let Americans swallow these kind of lies and we aren't standing up to them. Ian, my friend, back on the line, my friend, for another question. Thank you. What's on your mind today, yeah. Ian?
Yeah, the other part of my question is right down to the ad campaigns with stolen elections, right down to ad campaigns. What stops slander suits from flying? Why are they not flying left and right? Why are people not getting sued for spreading lies? Is the Election Commission allowed to sue for slander? And that's all I got for you.
Thank yeah,
you.
That's very, very good, using legal process. And the fact of the matter is we are much more reticent in Wisconsin to use lawsuits like that in legal process than anywhere else. But I'll tell you a very good development is that there was just a ruling in the Dominion case that sued Trump, Fox, and Barr, and they moved to dismiss the case. And the judge denied their motion, Fox News's motion, Trump and Barr's motion, to dismiss it. Dominion sued them for $1.6 billion. They provide the voting technology in more than 24 states, $1.6 billion, and their reputation was destroyed. Fox kept putting these people on, Sidney Powell, and then people, and Rudy Giuliani, and then Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Maria Bartiromo, Jeanine Pirro, Lou Dobbs, they've all been sued too, and they're going to go to trial. The motion to dismiss was denied because they said, the judge said, they had plenty of information that was being said was false, that the election was not stolen, that Dominion's machines, they all claim there's a backdoor portal that switched Biden votes, the Trump votes to Biden. That was false. But, you know, Dominion has a lot of operations in Europe, too, for elections. And when you are accused by people of having a crooked machine, you're going to lose sales. Well, these people now are going to be on the hook. $1.6 billion. The judge pointed out how much information they had. Here in this state, you're right. Five election commissioners are threatened with felony prosecutions. And everybody goes, okay, they yawn. No, they shouldn't yawn. We shouldn't yawn. We shouldn't yawn as Democrats, and we shouldn't yawn as Wisconsin citizens. What can they do? Well, I'll tell you, if it's a crooked prosecution, one of the problems with suing over a prosecution is prosecutors have virtually complete immunity. And so they're not going to sue that. But the Republican Party claiming that they are criminals, that is defamatory. That is defamatory. Defamation is the overall umbrella tort, they call it. It has two prongs. One is libel, one is slander. Libel is written defamation. Slander is verbal defamation. One exception to that, if you defame somebody, you defame them on radio or TV, it's considered libel because it has such a broadcast, and that has differences in damages that you can get. And so if you go on radio or TV and say somebody committed a criminal offense, they should be charged. I would sue them, Ian. I would sue them. Absolutely, I would sue them. And death threats to these clerks, there are clerks down in Virginia who are suing the people who made the death threats. And they're scaring their kids, death threats to their kids. They sit outside their houses with cameras trying to video them taking their kids to school. These people, there has to be criminal prosecution for that. And there has to be defamation lawsuits for the rest of it. Excellent point. Thank you for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.